The domestic politics landscape this Monday has several threads running simultaneously, and they collectively tell you something about where both parties are heading into the midterm environment. Let's start with the strange situation in Alaska, where the Republican Senate primary has produced what might be the most awkward race of the cycle. Two candidates named Dan Sullivan are on the ballot, and President Trump is accusing Democrats of engineering the situation as a form of electoral trickery.
The Alaska story is genuinely unusual. The incumbent Dan Sullivan, the actual sitting U.S. senator, is facing a primary challenge from another Republican who also happens to be named Dan Sullivan. Trump's accusation that Democrats manipulated this is based on the idea that having two identically named candidates on a Republican primary ballot creates confusion that benefits Democrats in the general. Whether that theory is plausible depends on your faith in Alaska's primary electorate to figure out which Dan Sullivan they're looking at on the ballot.
What the Alaska story reveals is something broader about Trump's midterm posture. He's increasingly framing Democratic strategy as elaborate and conspiratorial, even in local races. The grocery photo op story haunting Republicans is related. In 2024, Trump did a widely covered visit to a grocery store to highlight inflation, and the juxtaposition of that political theater against what have been genuinely elevated food prices has followed Republicans into the 2026 cycle as a reminder of promises made versus economic conditions delivered.
The Wyoming governor's race is more substantive and more revealing about the limits of Trump's endorsement power. Prediction markets are currently giving Eric Barlow, the former House Speaker of Wyoming, an 84% chance of winning Tuesday's Republican primary over Megan DeGenfelder, who has Trump's explicit endorsement. An 84-16 split in prediction markets is decisive. If Barlow wins by a meaningful margin, it continues a pattern we've seen in several 2026 primaries, where Trump's endorsement has not reliably moved the needle in state-level races the way it did in 2022.
Barlow's strength in Wyoming is partly about his established relationships within the state Republican establishment, and partly about a sense among some Wyoming voters that DeGenfelder was parachuted in with national backing rather than earned through state-level political work. The state is deeply red, so whoever wins Tuesday almost certainly wins in November, but the process matters for the internal dynamics of the Republican Party going forward.
On the Democratic side, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear gave a speech Sunday calling for abolishing the Electoral College and imposing term limits on Supreme Court justices. Beshear is one of the most interesting figures in Democratic politics. Right now, he's a two-term governor of Kentucky, which is a deeply red state by presidential metrics, and he's managed to build a genuine crossover coalition. His proposals are to the institutional reform left of where many Senate Democrats are publicly positioned.
The Electoral College proposal will go nowhere as a near-term legislative matter. It requires a constitutional amendment, which means two-thirds of both chambers and three-quarters of state legislatures, and the math simply isn't there. But as a platform-building move for a potential 2028 presidential run, it establishes Beshear as someone willing to push structural change proposals that resonate with the Democratic base that's frustrated with institutional inertia.
The Supreme Court term limits proposal has a bit more bipartisan surface-level support. Some Republican legal scholars have endorsed the concept in the abstract, but it faces the same constitutional implementation challenges. The current justices serve under Article 3 life tenure protections, and the mechanism for imposing term limits without a constitutional amendment is legally contested. Beshear knows all of this. The proposals are about positioning as much as policy.
Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana was apparently caught on camera stunned into silence after Attorney General Todd Blanche gave a rally speech this weekend. The clip has circulated because Cassidy, who was one of seven Republican senators who voted to convict Trump in the second impeachment trial, is in an uncomfortable position in the current administration's political orbit. What Blanche said and Cassidy's reaction speaks to the ongoing tension within the Republican Party between those who were critical of Trump and those who have fully aligned with his administration.
Cassidy's silence was read by observers as somewhere between discomfort and shock, though he's been notably restrained in his public commentary about the current administration compared to some of his post-impeachment vote statements. The midterm environment for Republicans in Louisiana is different from Wyoming or Alaska. Cassidy is not up until 2028, so his immediate political survival doesn't require full alignment. But incidents like this illustrate how much tension still exists just below the surface.
The state's enacting laws to shield voters from federal interference ahead of midterms rounds out the domestic politics picture. Several blue states have passed legislation establishing state-level protections around voter registration data and voting process administration that limit the extent to which federal agencies can access or alter state voting infrastructure. The legal arguments are complex. Federal law generally preempts state law in election matters where Congress has spoken, but the political message is clear. These states are drawing a line about where federal authority ends.